Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want us to take a look at something this morning that is so simple. It's so simple, yet so profound. Our subject is a prayer that justifies. A prayer to God Almighty that justifies. We need to be justified, don't we? Every man and woman on this earth is a sinner. Surely we can acknowledge that to be the truth. Every man and woman born into this world is a sinner. There are no exceptions. All we have to do is just acknowledge the truth of our heart, the truth of what's in our mind. If we think for just a minute about our motive, we can acknowledge that we're sinners. And every sinner on this earth tries to justify himself before God. Every sinner does, including you and me. Every sinner wants God to look at him or look at her and say, "You're right. You're right. What you've done is right. I'm well pleased with you." But the truth of the matter is, that's just not possible. That is just not possible. Now, we know that the Scripture says, "There is none that doeth good." We know that, don't we? You and I, we've heard that all our lives. We've heard the Scripture read. "There is none that doeth good." We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've heard that verse of Scripture, haven't we? We know that. But something in this flesh still wants to justify itself before God, even though it knows that there's none that doeth good. Even though it knows that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, still this flesh wants to justify itself before God. Something inside says, "I have to do better so God will be happy with me." That's the case for everybody. Well, I want us to see something this morning that I hope will be a comfort, a real comfort and an encouragement. I just want this to be a reminder to us of how a sinner is justified before God. That's all I want us to look at, is how a sinner is justified before God. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 18. If you want to turn with me there in your Bible, we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, and let's begin with verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Our Lord spoke this parable to a particular group of people. He said this to those that trusted in themselves. Do you see that right there? Those that trusted in themselves. Trusted in themselves. Our Lord said this to those that spent time looking at themselves, thinking on themselves, their actions, weighing their actions, analyzing their actions. And in their own eyes, they found them to be acceptable. They were happy with what they saw, satisfied with what they saw in themselves. Verse 9 says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others." Despised those that they felt did not live up to their standards. And verse 10 says, this is the parable the Lord gave them. This is what our Lord said. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee was the one that, on the outside, everybody said, surely that guy saved. That was the Pharisee. Everybody who knew him, everybody who talked to him, everybody who had dealings with him, he would be the one that everybody said, surely that guy saved. He looks like it to me. From everything I know about him, he acts like it. He acts like a saved person. And the publican was the one that on the outside, everybody who knew him and had dealings with him, and they said, surely that guy's lost. He looks like it to me. He acts like it. He acts like a lost man. Now, here's the thing we need to understand, though. God does not look on the outside. Not when it comes to the subject of being justified. Now, He sees the outside. God sees all. Nothing is hid from His eyes. Nothing. But God looks all the way into the heart, all the way through a man, deep into his heart. And no heart is justified in His sight. No heart. Turn with me back a couple of pages to Luke 16 and look with me at verse 14. It says, "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided Him. And He said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts." God knows your hearts. "For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." What was he talking about, that which is highly esteemed among men? He's talking about certain men. He's talking about those Pharisees. They were covetous on the inside. People couldn't see that on the outside. But God saw it. He said, "I know your hearts. I know you have a covetous heart." And here these Pharisees, these religious men, they were highly esteemed among the people. But God said they were an abomination in His sight. An abomination. All of our good deeds, everything that is highly esteemed among men, our God says they are an abomination in His sight. Now, why are they an abomination? Good deeds? Actual good deeds? An abomination to God? Why? Let me show you two scriptures. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 64. Isaiah chapter 64. And this will answer that question for us. Isaiah 64, our Lord says in verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses," everything good that could be said about us, everything that other men would see to be a good deed, a right deed, something that they would think would be right in God's eyes. "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Filthy rags. "And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We're all as an unclean thing. That's what he said, all of us. You know, we look at this story of the Pharisee and the publican, and we, even humanly speaking, we side with the publican. I do. The Pharisee, we haven't read through the full story yet, but if you know this story, the Pharisee was a little bit of a jerk. At least the publican was a nice guy, a humble guy. And naturally, most people would gravitate to the publican, kind of like we do with Jacob and Esau. I'm not the biggest fan of Jacob. Are you? Seeing everything he did, the way he tricked his father, lied to his father. I kind of like Esau. Esau seems to be a kind man, a good, hard-working man. He seems to be a good hunter, a good fisherman, a good provider. He seems to be a man who loves his mother, loves his father. He made him venison all the time. He was good to him. His dad loved that venison. He was just a good old, kind-hearted country boy. You know what God said about him? God said, "I hate him." Those are strong words. Those are hard words, aren't they? But that's what God said. He said, "I hate him." Why would God say that? Here's the reason. We are all, Jacob, Esau, me, and you, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's why God said it. Now, let me show you a scripture in Proverbs 21. Turn with me back a few books to Proverbs chapter 21. And let's look at verse 4. It says, "An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Now, did you catch that with me? He said, "A high look." That sounds like sin, doesn't it? A high look. And a proud heart. That sounds like sin. Boy, I see sin in that. But then he said, "And the plowing of the wicked is sin." A wicked man just tilling the ground is sin in God's eyes. You know what that means? It means all our righteousnesses, all of them. It seems to me like a man who's just out in the field plowing the ground, he's doing a good thing. He's just doing a good, honest, hard-working thing. Has children, providing for them. But do you know, this is what God said. all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. They're all filthy rags. There is nothing that the Pharisee or the publican, either one of them, there is nothing that the Pharisee or the publican could do to be justified in the sight of God. Nothing. And I use this to comfort our hearts. Because even though there's not something that can justify us, there's someone who can. There is not something, but there is someone. Someone who can justify us. Now go with me back to our text this morning, Luke 18. And look with me at verse 10. This is the parable the Lord gave. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I do all these things. He started out and he said, God. And that is who he was talking to. He was talking to God. But apparently he did not see God for who he is. And the reason we know that is because he started saying, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this other man. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of everything that I have. I do all these things. Our Lord said over in Matthew chapter 7, he said, none of that stuff means anything. Not for justifying yourselves before me. He said, it's all iniquity. A man can stand there and tell God that he's done all these wonderful things in his name. Prophesied, cast out devils. But the Lord God said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, it's all sin. It's all sin. Well, let me ask you this. Does that mean we ought to forget about trying to obey His commandments? Just forget about that. Does that mean we ought to stop doing what He says? It doesn't matter anyway. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid. God forbid. What we must realize is there's a difference. There is a difference in looking to Him and loving Him and desiring to be like Him and wanting to do His will because it's His will, because we love Him and it's His will. And being His follower and being a willing servant and hoping to come more and more conformed to His image, there's a difference in that and trying to justify myself before God. There's a difference in being His disciple, His follower, because love draws me to it. There's a difference in that and proudly, arrogantly trying to justify myself before God. I have a heart to physically obey every law He has put in this book. I do. I want to. Even though I don't, and even though I can't perfectly, I have a heart to. I wish I could. And one day in His sinless eternity, when I'm finally freed from the presence of sin, I hope to obey everything He has written in this Word perfectly and believe with every fiber of my being that I will obey it perfectly. So I have a heart to try to do these things now. But I know that I could never justify myself before Him in doing these things. And the reason is because I could never keep them perfectly. Not like He demands. I could never keep them with a pure mind, with a pure heart, with a pure motive. Never. This Pharisee, he didn't realize that. He just did not realize that. And he listed all these things that he did and he didn't do. And he ended up not being justified. And the reason is because he was clinging to the wrong things. It's not something that justifies us. It's someone. It's not something. It's someone. And verse 13 says, right here in Luke chapter 18, the publican. Now we saw what the Pharisee did. Here's the publican. He said, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. He would not walk straight up to the throne of God. He would not walk straight into the presence of God. He stood afar off. He was afraid. He knew something of what he was. He knew the truth of what he was. He acknowledged it. And he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He knew, I'm not worthy to even look on him. I'm not worthy. And he smote upon his breast. He condemned himself, saying. And what he said here is a seven-word prayer. He said seven words. And this is a seven-word prayer, and this is the perfect prayer. This is the perfect prayer. And we've already established that every man's heart, including this publican, every man's heart is nothing but wicked. Nothing but wicked. So if a man truly prays this in sincerity from the depths of his heart, then it means God has already had mercy on him. That's what it means. Because God had to put this here. This is what the publican prayed. He said, God, oh God, I acknowledge you to be the thrice holy God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty, all-seeing God, the God who punishes iniquity. David said in Psalm 130, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? This publican said, God, be merciful. Oh, be merciful. Lord, would you show mercy? Would you show mercy? I don't deserve it. Everything I've done is wrong. My entire life is wrong. Everything I am is wrong. I'm nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But David said back in Psalm 130, there is forgiveness with thee. There's forgiveness with you. I can't earn it. I know that. I can't buy it. I don't have anything to buy it with. I'm a bankrupt man. I might have all the money in the world, but I'm still a bankrupt man when it comes to purchasing back my own justification. I can't do it. All I can do is beg. That's all I can do is beg. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. I recognize what I am. I know you see all. I know you know the truth. I know you see men's hearts. I can't hide from you. So I recognize what I am. Verse 14, the Lord said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he said, if we confess our sins to Christ himself, and I'll tell you, if we do confess our sins, it's only because God opened our eyes to them. It's only because God first revealed to us what we truly were. So John wrote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That's what it means. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know what our hope is? Our hope is the faithfulness of Christ. That's our hope. Our hope is in His mercy. Our hope is in the fact that He delights to show mercy. Our hope is in the fact that if we come to Him crying and begging for mercy, then it means He is drawing us. No man can come to Him except the Father which sent Him draw that man. And every soul that God the Father gave to Christ shall come. Every one of them. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. That's what He said. So if we come crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then that gives us hope that He has been merciful to me, a sinner. That Pharisee justified himself and God condemned him. And that publican condemned himself and God justified him. And He said in verse 14, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's all we can do. That's the wise thing to do, the only wise thing to do, because He's the only one who can justify us. He's the only one. May the Lord sincerely put that in all of our hearts. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.